evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. It's Wednesday night. This is a live broadcast. I had a very busy day today, meeting with some very nice people, actually, a number of people. And now we're here back live on the air. We're going to have a guest joining us if he's not already with us. I'm just a little bit behind here, folks, so I'm struggling with some of my email and some other things. But needless to say, we're going to be joined by Mark Glenn, who is familiar to those of you who are regular listeners of this show. I mentioned Mark last evening in the course of a discussion about one of the very interesting and provocative forums that took place at the recent conference held here in Washington over Labor Day weekend by American Free Press. Mark and the rabbi squared off, essentially, at that meeting. There were at that forum, there were several people at the forum, in the forum. It was on the Middle East and Zionism. But the real highlight was Mark Glenn's comments about the fact that there are anti-Zionist Jewish groups, such as the Neutra Karta, which at this conference was represented by Rabbi Yisrael Weiss. And Mark made the very provocative contention that while it was all well and good for there to be Jewish rabbis and Jewish groups that reject the validity of the existence of the modern-day State of Israel, that the bigger problem, in fact, was, well, let's face it, frankly, the roots of the Jewish religion itself. And as I say, there were quite a few people at that conference, myself included, who share Mark's concerns. So needless to say, received a number of emails on that topic, and I thought it'd be very interesting to have Mark come aboard this evening to discuss it further, because we got some phone calls last night in response to the comments that I made in regard to the events that took place at the American Free Press Conference. This is a subject that is of abiding interest to a lot of people. It's a very controversial subject. And I have to say, frankly, it's a subject that I don't think a lot of people thoroughly understand. Yeah. And it's something we'll discuss a little bit further here tonight. So I don't know if Mark Glenn has joined us quite yet. Mark, are you there?
Michael Bernard Piper.
Michael Bernard Piper, that's right. How you doing, Mark? You know, we have we have a break coming up here. I'm struggling a little bit with my computer, so I don't quite know exactly who's with me and where I am. We've reached that point in technology here, or I should say I've reached a point in technology here that I just don't know where I am and where I'm going. But in any case, Mark, as I mentioned earlier here to the audience, and I guess you probably heard the introduction, you caused quite a stir because it was rather lovey-dovey up there on the podium to a certain extent. Everybody was trying to be grand and gracious, but you kind of came in there and threw a wet blanket on everything by, well, frankly, by being candid. And as I said, I felt there was a lot of people, I felt that most of the people there appreciated your candor. But I'll tell you what, Mark, we have a break coming up, so if you want to be candid, you're just going to have to wait till after the break. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper here with the controversial Mark Glenn of CrescentandCross.com.
Headline news, activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The council to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. Join Jeffrey Bennett and myself each day at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we'll give you the flip side of the day's financial and political news. Had Warren Buffett tuned in, he could have saved himself $1 billion. You see, Mr. Buffett bet against the dollar 2 years ago. Had he had chosen buying gold instead of foreign currency, he would have made $2 billion. Don't make the Buffett mistake. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898 and let us help you ensure your wealth against dollar depreciation. For daily updates on the condition of the dollar, visit our website at republictradinggroup.com. Or as I said, just give us a call at 1-800-691-7898 and speak with Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898. And thank you for your support of Republic Broadcasting Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper, coming to you from Washington, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm going to warn you up front, this show is going to be very sensitive and very controversial, so if you don't like controversial things and you don't think we should talk about religion, well, that's what we're going to talk about here tonight. As I mentioned, our guest who is with us, Mark Glenn, you can find his website at crescentandcross.com. Mark is a Lebanese-American Roman Catholic. He has written several very good books, one of which is No Beauty and the Beast, and that touches on the subject of Israel and U.S. policy toward Israel and the Arab world. And, of course, as I say, Mark is a Christian. He is not a Muslim. He is of Arabic descent on one side, but he is of Arabic Christian descent. In any case, Mark spoke in Washington at a very diverse podium, final session of the American Free Press Conference. There were a number of people there, but relevant for this discussion tonight is the fact that there was a Jewish rabbi there, Rabbi Yisrael Weiss of the group Nutra Karta, which is a Jewish group that basically says they don't support the Zionist state of Israel, and therefore a lot of people have been very, very enthusiastic about this group. However, at that seminar, Rabbi Weiss also said that he found the Talmud to be a beautiful document, or words to that effect. Well, a lot of people who've studied the Talmud find it to be a filthy piece of garbage, frankly. In any case, there was a real brawl there. But, folks, before we talk with Mark about this, I want to read you a very interesting email that I received from somebody who says they attended the conference. They say, "Dear Mr. Piper, I attended the conference this weekend. I'm not a subscriber to your magazine. In reading about the conference, I believe the speeches would be more substantive, more scholarly. Some were. But too many were meant only to rally the group, to build up the numbers, to hawk books." Whatever. "The conference was given a rallying cry of unity through diversity. I can tell you that I am up to my eyeballs in unity through diversity at home." Well, to respond to that, I don't know where anyone talked about unity through diversity. But in any case, the writer says, "I'd like you to take the time to carefully read my comments. What is stated in this article is what your rabbi was speaking about in rapid fire when he spoke of the Gentiles who are or can become righteous. He was telling us in rapid fire what his objectives and hopes were for the future in regard to living together as part of a Jewish and righteous community, what his role is, that is, metaphysical teacher, and what your role is, that is, righteous." Well, first of all, to this letter writer, who I don't think listens to this program, I would comment that he's not my rabbi. If anything, I left the podium, although I was sitting beside that rabbi, I left the podium because I felt his remarks in endorsing the Talmud were unclean. I consider the Talmud unclean. As one of my colleagues always says, who put the mud in the Talmud? In any case, this letter writer goes on and says, "As far as his internal argument with the Zionists is concerned, it is clear he is saying nothing more than that he disagrees with the timing of the return of the Jews to Israel. If the timing were correct, I do not believe he would see a problem with the Jews going back to Israel. The prescriptions against stealing and killing Palestinians notwithstanding, for the Talmudic interpretations of those same commandments supply no such prescription as it concerns you or me or the Palestinians." The writer goes on attacking this rabbi and presumably assuming that because he spoke at that conference that he represents any position of American Free Press. He was treated nicely by the people of American Free Press, that is true, ladies and gentlemen, because he was a guest of American Free Press, just as Mark Glenn was a guest. They were all invited guests. And even if you disagree with somebody, even if it's with a rabbi who preaches that the Talmud is a wonderful thing, you know, when you've invited him there, you don't lynch him. The host does not lynch him. In any case, it was a very interesting email that I received here because it always proves my point that I, an American Free Press, I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. The same with American Free Press. This person who wrote this email was so obsessed with what the rabbi had to say that apparently it's a lady. This lady failed to note that Mark Glenn got up there and gave a very thorough, articulate, and very spiritual refutation of not only the rabbi, but of the Talmud. So, with all that having been said, and with a break coming up in about 4 or 5 minutes, I am going to bring Mark Glenn himself up here to talk about all this, because it's a subject that I know many, many people are interested in, and I know it cuts right to the core of the problems we have in the Middle East today. So, Mark, if you'll forgive me for that extended introduction, I thought it might set the tone for all of this.
I just have one question for you.
What's that, Mark?
What's wrong with Bernard?
Nothing wrong with it. In fact, one of my favorite dogs is a St. Bernard, and, of course, they're named after St. Bernard, but that's the way it is.
Okay, now that we've gotten that out of the way.
All right.
Mike?
Yes, I'm here, Mark.
Okay. How do you want to do this? Do you want to go, or do you want me to go?
Well, I'd just like you to comment on your feelings about this event, and just consider the whole question in its context.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'll state that I got no pleasure in doing it. I mean, imagine the the anticlimactic feeling of finding out that you've been invited to speak at this very prestigious conference and that you're going to be sitting on this panel with somebody who is, ideologically speaking, your avowed enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So I really did not enjoy doing it, but it was something that had to be done. And for him to sit up there and to sell this snake oil, and that is basically the way I viewed what he was doing with it. He was selling snake oil. And for nobody to get up there and to tell the people that they're being snookered was just not right. And there was no way that I could do it. I feel that it would have been a serious breach of my duties just as a human being. And to sit and allow this to go on and for nobody to speak up for literally the hundreds of thousands of people who have had to pay the ultimate price with their lives.
Well, frankly, I would say it's millions of people if you consider the whole history
of
this
exactly
subject,
right.
But you're talking about in the Middle East, exactly.
Yeah, and the thing is, Mike, is that this could not have come at a better time. Your book, your beautiful new book has just been released, Judas Goats, where you are touching on this topic of how we need to be careful not to allow ourselves to fall victim to the first person who comes along and says things that sound good to us, that oftentimes this is a trick. And this is how I view not just these two rabbis, but anybody today who is going to try to sell the idea that Zionism and Judaism are two completely different creatures when they're not.
Let me just throw something in, Mark. As I've said to you off the air several times over the course of different conversations, and I certainly hope I conveyed it at one time or another on the air, I don't buy that argument that Zionism and Judaism are two separate things. I've heard, there's a very famous website operator who has podcasts on the air who's constantly talking about how Zionism is a corruption of Judaism. And I believe that Zionism is just one strand of Judaism and a particularly dangerous form. But I would agree with you that the real problem, and this is, again, is very controversial, gets right down to the roots of the Jewish religion and its teachings. And that rabbi was up there endorsing the Jewish religion and its teachings, most specifically the Talmud. So
yeah.
I just want to make it clear from the very beginning that I'm basically in agreement, as far as I know, with everything that you believe about this subject matter.
Yeah,
so,
and what it boils down to, Mike, is one question, whether or not we really want to solve this problem, you see, because let's face it, having to do things two or three times, to have to do them over and over again, that's expensive, right? if your roof has got a leak and you don't fix it, but instead you just, you know, you patch up the drywall inside because of the leak, but you don't take care of the leak itself, that means you're going to be patching drywall for the rest of your life, and that's expensive. Now, the fact of the matter is that we are at a very critical junction in human history right now. And assuming, and this is a big word here, yes, assuming that we are afforded a second chance at civilization and survival, because we really are this close. I mean, I didn't know. One of the things that I did when I was trying to soothe my kids over their worries of me having to go to Washington, D.C., is I told them, well, listen, guys, I might not be going. And the reason that I was saying this was because I couldn't say with anything close to 90% certainty that Washington, D.C. was going to be there by the time that the conference rolled around.
So, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So assuming that we get a second chance at this, we don't want to have to go through all of this all over again. You see, if we got rid of Israel today, if we got rid of this thing known as Zionism today, it would be back.
In a different form. And, we'll talk more about that when we come back, and we have a caller. We'll bring him up. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper coming to you with some very controversial discussion here. I think you figured that already. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm coming to you from Washington, D.C. We got Mark Glenn on the line with us, folks.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Introducing Idea Sticks. Idea Sticks are self-adhering, so you simply peel and stick to create the look of hand-painted tile on your kitchen backsplash. Bring new life to kitchen countertops. Accent and coordinate kitchen appliances and accessories. The possibilities are endless. And because Idea Sticks are steam and heat resistant, you can even use them in your bathroom. Idea Sticks are removable, reusable, and washable, and won't leave marks or a sticky mess, so you can change to a new design at any time. During this special TV offer, you can order your very own Idea Sticks. A, the floral bouquet. B, the dolphin porthole, or see the floral and fruit basket for the amazing price of just $19.99. That's right, only $19.99. And that's not all. During this special TV offer, we'll even throw in a sheet of custom accents absolutely free.
To order your very own Idea Sticks, call 1-800-564-5812. That's 1-800-564-5812.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper. I'm here with my guest tonight, Mark Glenn, who is very familiar to many of you. He caused quite a stir at the American Free Press Conference in Washington this past weekend by daring to discuss the subject of religion. You know, we're always told we're not supposed to talk about religion. Well, we are talking about religion here tonight, and we're talking about how religion has a direct influence on U.S. foreign policy toward the Middle East, and really on the conduct of foreign policy, or on all policy, really, in America today. Mark, we have a caller. I'd just like to go ahead and bring him up right now before the first turn of the hour. This is Ron from Oklahoma. Ron?
Yes.
What's going on, Ron?
Oh, you guys, it doesn't get better than this. These are the two greatest minds in this country as far as patriotism is concerned. To have
Ron,
you both on the same program is fantastic.
I appreciate that, but just assure me one thing. You're not calling from a mental institution, are you?
No, absolutely not. You guys, for you to even have this kind of a program, Michael, is wonderful. And to have somebody like Mark Glenn on here, who is the only person in this country that I know of that is brave enough to call a spade, and let the chips fall where they may. And he is absolutely right. The root cause of almost every problem that we have as a people is the outrageously terrible, evil concepts contained in the Jewish religion.
And I just want to say, I agree 100%.
And you know, when you look at, and Mark is the only person who's pointing all of this stuff out. He is the one who is brave enough to say what nobody else, you know, people are afraid to even call a Jew, or to even mention that Judaism is a problem. But Mark Gwynn goes so much further and actually spells it out in a very articulate, scholarly way, what a hero you guys are. And I
come on, Ron, come on.
No, please. It's true. You guys are too modest. You know, both of you refuse to count your books, and you know, Michael Collins Piper even refuses to tell people where you can buy your book. How can we obtain these materials if you guys won't talk about them and tell us how to do it? You need to be a little bit more promoting.
Well, to be honest, there would be books. I would be peddling them right now if I had any.
Well, I'm glad to hear that your stuff is so popular that you're sold out. That's wonderful.
It's not that. I'm just too broke to buy any new ones.
Well, I can tell you, Ron, American Free Press is going to work to rectify that in regard to Mark's books, because they are books that deserve widespread distribution. And, I can't count the superlatives, but I appreciate your comments, Ron.
I do have a question for
Mark.
Yeah,
go ahead.
What was the reaction of the people at the conference? You know, they're not used to hearing your kind of direct assault on this evil empire of Judaism. What was their reaction to that?
Mark,
were they so shocked?
Mark, let me answer that, because I told Mark this. I think I may have mentioned it on the show. There was some substantial applause, but there were a lot of people who did not applaud because I think they were almost frozen. They were shocked that this guy had the guts to say this right there in front of this rabbi. And, you know, that is very, very true, because most people, most people want to try to, you know, portray themselves as tolerant and advocates of diversity and presenting this idea that we should all be allowed to express our opinions. Well, that's exactly what happened there. The rabbi expressed his opinion, and then Mark got up and expressed his opinion. But it was one that was so controversial because, you know, in this day and age, we are supposed to, let's face it, accept the idea that we should tolerate others' religions, but we find that the Jewish religion is one of the most intolerant of religions and preaches the most hateful things towards non-Jews and towards Jesus Christ himself.
Well, you know, not only that, when you look at the religion itself, which most people don't do, they just take certain pieces and parts out of it. This religion is where slavery comes from. It's where intolerance comes from. It's where racial bigotry comes from. All of these things, you know, where the concept that there's one group of people who are chosen by the creator of the universe, that these people are going to be his chosen people, and they above all, and then you look at what he says to do, you know, go out and kill everybody, utterly smash them, kill their children, kill their, you know, what kind of God is this? It's their God, that Jewish tribal war
God,
is the most evil God that has ever been created by man, and Mark Gwynn is the only one who's pointing this out. And
well,
Mark, congratulations to you, and congratulations to you, Michael, for having him on.
All right, appreciate that,
Ron.
Let me
just say one thing.
I
am not the only one, Michael. There are plenty of others who deserve the credit, not the least of which is you. And so I appreciate
I think Ron, you know, and actually, and I'm glad you said that, Mark, because there are many, many others out there who are. Michael Hoffman II is one of them. We got to give credit to Mike Hoffman. Well, more about this when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. The phones are lighting up. I know people are interested in commenting on this one. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The because you can handle the truth.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England. And the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. Our guest is Mark Glenn, whose website is crescentandcross.com. Well worth checking out. Folks, yes, we're talking controversial things here, but does it ever occur to you that you turn on the national news, you turn on the television chat show programs and all the major networks, and they bring up Professor Bernard Lewis of Princeton University, former British intelligence operative, major advisor to the Bush administration, Professor Bernard Lewis, who is Jewish, by the way, and they never mentioned this, and whose son works for AIPAC, which is the America-Israel Public Affairs Committee, a registered lobby for Israel, two of whose top officials have been indicted for espionage. Professor Lewis, Dr. Lewis, comes aboard and virulently savages and bashes the Muslim people and bashes their faith. Or we have Stephen Emerson, who is touted as an expert on terrorism, and he's no more of an expert on anything than I am, ladies and gentlemen. I always call myself a hack writer with opinions. Well, that's what Stephen Emerson is, and they never tell you that he is Jewish. But he comes on as an authority talking about Islam. Well, folks, we are here tonight to tell you that, you know, we hear a lot of bad things about Christianity, and we hear a lot of bad things about Islam in the mass media. They make fun of Christianity all the time, but no one ever teaches you or tells you anything about the really horrible, vile things that appear in the Talmud. And our guest here tonight, Mark Glenn, and other people like Michael Hoffman II, who has a very good website on the Internet. You can check him out, Michael A. Hoffman, H-O-F-F-M-A-N. Mark and Michael and many, many other people, frankly, have been targeting this issue of, well, let's put it frankly, the evils that are inherent in the Jewish religion. We're not talking the evils that are inherent in Jewish people, per se. We're not saying all Jewish people follow this religion, but we are here to say that there are elements in this religion that are evil and have contributed to the evil in the world today. Mark, would you say that's a pretty accurate assessment of it, or would you disagree?
No, I agree. And not only that, to those in the Christian world, this should not come as any big surprise. I mean, what did Jesus have to say, particularly about those who formed the leadership of the Jewish people and of the Jewish religion? He had the worst things in the world to say about the rabbis. He said that they were children of the devil. They were whitewashed tombs. There were many things that he said that were left to us as a warning that these people, in particular the rabbis, this is the thing, too, you know, the last caller you had last night, he got into a bit of a heated discussion over the question, what is a Jew? And to me, you know, I think that we need to start off by defining a Jew as somebody who submits himself to the agenda of the rabbis. That's really what it boils down to. We have plenty of honorary Jews, such as Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and, let's see, who else, some of these other people who are out there doing the bidding of the rabbis, okay? But the idea that somehow this agenda of these rabbis is somehow a harmless, benign thing, it just simply doesn't hold water. It didn't hold water 2,000 years ago, and it doesn't hold water now. And for those today who are spending a great deal of effort and money trying to convince people that there's this difference between Judaism and Zionism, well, it hasn't been hijacked. Judaism hasn't blown a gasket. It hasn't been changed in the last 50 years. Judaism today is exactly what it was 2,000 years ago when it was putting people to death who dared to speak out against it.
You know, this is Mark, you know, you've summarized it all so well. And, you know, I tell you, I am going to promote my book, The New Jerusalem, just by pointing out that in that book, the underlying theme was that because of Zionist power in America, which has put the focus on the Israeli lobby and its promotion of a global agenda to support the state of Israel, many, many people have started to focus on Israel, ignoring the fact that Jewish Zionist power in America has reached a pinnacle. And that's why I say that the United States is becoming the New Jerusalem. The state of Israel could disappear tomorrow, but the Zionist philosophy, the Talmudic philosophy, would remain in place in these power groups like the Anti-Defamation League, the American Jewish Congress, all of these organizations in the organized Jewish community that have gained such a stranglehold on the American government and are leading us into these conflicts. In some respects, the state of Israel in and of itself is almost a very clever distraction.
Well,
in my
opinion, Michael, Israel was an inevitability. As long as there is this thing known as Judaism, there is going to be this need for these people to have a place where they can run and hide. Judaism is a declaration of war against all non-Jews. It is the Jewish people who are under the control of their rabbis going out and waging these little individual acts of war against the people around whom they're living, to such a point where the people who have to suffer under this yoke, they strike back at some point. And so Israel exists for one reason, which is as a hideout for these gangsters, to where they can go and run and hide. And we've seen, examples of this just within the last 3 or 4 months. How many high-ranking people around the world who were about to be brought up on charges, where was the first place that they fled to? They fled to Israel. Because
dear little Israel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so as long as there is this thing known as Judaism, which pits these Jewish people against the non-Jewish people around them to the point where they are stealing from them and implementing all these other poisonous things that, were dreamed up by their rabbis, as long as this exists, there's always going to be this need for this place known as Israel where they can run and hide. And let me go one step further.
Go ahead.
Today we see, you know, the fact that these people are becoming very bold. And the reason why they are becoming very bold is because they know they have this place to hide. For the last 2,000 years when they were without their country, they had to mind their P's and Q's. They had to be careful not to tip their hand in too dramatic of a fashion because they didn't have a place where they could run and hide. You see, so it is an ugly cyclical thing. The state exists as a place for them to go and hide after they have perpetrated these acts of criminal behavior, and then having the state there also encourages them to do it as well.
That's I couldn't disagree with you. Well, Mark, we have quite a few callers here. Let's bring them up, and maybe they disagree, maybe they agree, but we'll see what they have to say. We have Bruce in Colorado.
Hello.
Hello, Bruce.
Yeah, hi there. I just want to say this. I think one of the most important things that we could bring out about this subject is the fact that Israel is not Israel. The Israel that exists in this land that they called Israel is not the Israel of the Bible. Israel is a people, and Israel is not that land. I don't believe that that's been given to the people, the Jewish people. I don't really believe that. I believe that was done by the UN. It's more like an Antichrist thing that was done. The Israel of the Bible is different than the Jews of today. And by the way, as far as Jews are concerned, the average Jew doesn't know the Talmud. And the average Jew doesn't understand Zionism. The average Jew, it's kind of like being a Mason. You know, there are different levels of masonry.
Yeah.
You know, you got the rabbi up on the top. He knows all the secrets, and the guys down below, they're in the synagogue. They hear a few little tales from the Talmud in the synagogue, but they don't know about that you're supposed to spit on the church when you go by. You know, they don't know about that.
I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark?
No, I agree. But the problem is, though, is that the average Jew, as Bruce put it, the problem is that the average Jew, he does run to the defense of the tribe whenever the tribe is attacked from the outside. You see,
yeah,
he may not treat his Gentile neighbors with disrespect, but as soon as there's some high-profile case where some nefarious act has been committed, such as the thing that took place recently in Lebanon, okay, which was clearly an act of war, a thousand acts of wars, and you have this outrage on the part of the world, and all of a sudden now the wagons are starting to circle. You see, the average
Jew,
as you put it, he's not thinking about what is objectively right and wrong.
Well,
he's thinking, wait a minute, I have to support my people here, right or wrong.
Right, exactly. And I know that's true, and so also is it true with the Zionist Christians. By the way, on my website, I've got a thing you click to. It's called Israel.
Well, what is your website?
It's SuperBowlSteve.com.
Oh, right, okay, SuperBowlSteve.com. Yeah, you've been on the program before, Bruce, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just click on Israel. And it explains, you know, what Israel is and what Israel is not. And it's definitely not that land over there. Because, you know, where it says, you'll bless people that bless thee and curse those that curse thee? Well, the United States has been blessing that land for a long time, and it's being cursed. So figure it out. You know?
Bruce, thanks for your call. Good closing point. Let's go to Keith from Rhode Island. Keith, what do you have to say?
Oh, well, first of all, I wish this was a two-hour show, especially this evening. a very important topic. Unfortunately, it's a voodoo topic for some reason. But I'd just like to point out a few names here. Richard Wagner, Martin Luther, Ernest Hemingway, William Shakespeare, Minister Farrakhan, Tsar Nicholas II, Henry Ford, Ben Franklin, Thomas Paine, and Dr. Mahathir Muhammad of Malaysia. All these men lived in different centuries, never met each other, never knew each other, and yet they all came to the same conclusion about the Jewish tribe. Now, how can this be? Now, how can people who've never seen each other, who live in different continents and different centuries, yet they've come to the same conclusion? And the people I just mentioned, these were not so-called white trash living on the, in a trailer park up on cinder blocks or anything. These were great men of history, great men of letters. And so the stereotype that all quote-unquote anti-Semites are backwoods, tobacco-chewing rednecks is simply not true. I just pointed out that Ben Franklin, Thomas Paine, Nicholas II, Henry Ford, the list goes on and on.
Ancient Greece, ancient Rome,
you know? Why don't the Jews ever – they always complain. They're always kvetching, as it's used one of their own terms, about how much the world hates them, but they never ask, why does the world hate us? Because I think they know the answer.
Keith, good call.
I'd like to add four names to that list, if I could. You've got St. John the Baptist, who is the cousin of Jesus. You had Jesus himself. You had St. Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr, who was stoned to death by the Pharisees and by the mob. And then you had Saul, who was later to change his name to Paul, who all came to these same conclusions. So if we need if there are to be any forefathers of the anti-Semitic movement, I think that these four men probably serve as the founding fathers of this thing.
You know, this inspires me to repeat back something that I mentioned here in the program a couple months ago. I have a book published in Israel about the subject of anti-Semitism. It's a very straightforward book, and it has an Israeli author writing about the fact that the Jews in ancient Rome were harassing and terrorizing and hurting and harming the Christians of the day. It got so bad that the Roman authorities had to put through legislation, legislation. They stopping Jewish anti-Christianism. So this is something we don't hear about in history. We hear about what happened during the Holocaust, but we don't hear about all of this anti-Christian hatred that's been expressed by Jews throughout the centuries, and this hatred comes directly from the Jewish religion. In fact, I will cite a book here which people can get in the bookstores. It's called Reckless Rights, R-I-T-E-S, Reckless Rights. It's by Eliot Horowitz. That's a Jewish name, and Eliot Horowitz is an associate professor of Jewish history at Bar-Ilan University in Israel. And his book is basically about the fact that the Jewish religion has taught such hatred against Christianity that that there has been a lot of Jewish violence against Christians. Now, this is a book, very scholarly book, written by an Israeli, an American-born professor at an Israeli university. These are the kind of things we don't hear about, fellas.
We don't hear about how the Talmud says that Jesus is in hell.
Don't even say it. Don't even say it.
I'm sorry.
This is a family program, and I, as I said to one of my neighbors the other day, talking about the Talmud, she's such a nice lady that I wouldn't even repeat what the Talmud says about where Jesus Christ is at this time and what's happening to him.
What a Jew is permitted to do to a 3-year-old Christian girl.
Exactly.
These are all directly translated by Jewish scholars. I mean, these are not fanciful interpretations.
That's right. And see, we always hear about how rotten the Koran is, and we even hear from Jewish commentators about how horrible the New Testament is and how it encourages hatred against Jews, but we never hear about the Jewish Talmud that preaches this really vile, disgusting stuff.
It goes beyond pornography, actually. And I'm sorry if I offended anyone by mentioning these passages.
No, I just didn't want you to say it too far because, like I say, this is the family hour. Keith, I appreciate your call. We have to move on.
Thank
you. We've got quite a few callers here. I'm eager to see what they have to say. Let's go to Anthony from Indiana. Anthony, are you there?
Yes, Mike. Mark,
go ahead.
Yeah, I met you guys over the weekend. It was one of the highlights of my life, so I'll let you know.
Okay.
Anyway, a couple things. I have a library in my basement, and really good information about what you guys are talking about. It was written by a Catholic priest, and the title is called The Talmud Unmasked.
A very good book, yeah.
Father Pranaitis, or Pranaitis?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and your listeners can really dig that up, and it's really good information. Another thing, I'll let you go. You got a lot of callers. Mike, did you ever take that cat home with you? I'll let you go.
Take that what? Oh, no, I didn't. Okay. He's referring to a nice little cat that hung around the hotel where we had our conference. No, he's got a good home there in the hotel. All right. Thanks, Anthony. Let's go to Sam in Missouri. Sam, what do you have to say?
Hey, Michael, interesting broadcast, and something I just want to comment on, and this is so important as to why we need to go back and reexamine everything we think we know, because one of the things that has occurred to me, considering some of the research that I have done, is what a better plot to create a New World Order agenda, and, of course, the Zionists are right at the helm of it.
Sam, hold that thought until after the break, please. We got a break coming up here, and we'll wrap it all up. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. We're here with Mark Glenn of CrescentandCross.com.
Headline news, activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The counsel to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. Join Jeffrey Bennett and myself each day at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we'll give you the flip side of the day's financial and political news. Had Warren Buffett tuned in, he could have saved himself $1 billion. You see, Mr. Buffett bet against the dollar 2 years ago. Had he had chosen buying gold instead of foreign currency, he would have made $2 billion. Don't make the Buffett mistake. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898 and let us help you ensure your wealth against dollar depreciation. For daily updates on the condition of the dollar, visit our website at republictradinggroup.com. Or as I said, just give us a call at 1-800-691-7898 and speak with Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898. And thank you for your support of Republic Broadcasting Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here with Mark Glenn. We had Sam from Missouri who started to make a comment, and then the inevitable break came along. Sam, go ahead. We only have a couple minutes left. So
that's okay. Just want to make this quick point. You guys can comment on it as you wish. That is the this whole issue of the Zionists being part of the global agenda certainly makes sense when you tie it in with who's pushing the end of the world agenda, and that the New World Order is inevitable because that's in God's will. What a better plot to neuter most Christians than to convince them that they must not interfere with the New World Order agenda because it's God's will.
Well, you know, Sam, I tell you, and I agree with you 100%, and I think probably, Mark, you agree 100% with that. Mark, are you there? I think we may have lost Mark Glenn. Are you still there, Sam?
I'm here.
Yeah, I think we may have lost Mark, or he may have stepped away from the phone for a moment. I would just add that I have come to conclude on my own part, in agreement with what you're saying, that the underscoring philosophy of the New World Order is Jewish supremacy. The term Zionism is often applied to the movement to create a Jewish state. That is this state we call Israel today. But on a broader picture, I believe that Zionism is, in fact, more accurately defined as part of a Talmudic design for a New World Order, for this grand scheme to control the world. And what Mark has written about and talked about here tonight, in which he caused such a controversy at the American Free Press Conference, a friendly controversy from those who supported him, I think that he's put his finger on it right here and now. So what you've said, Sam, just completely goes along with my thinking, and as I say, I think also Mark's thinking as well. Mark, are you there again?
Yeah, I'm here. And can I say one thing while we have a minute left?
Yeah, right? Go ahead, Mark.
You know, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to hear this thing and go, oh, gosh, look at these guys. They're frothing at the mouth and these Jew haters and all the rest of it. But, you know, in the end, I pity these people. I pity them because they have lived in bondage for 2,000 years. They have lived in this prison of fear, this prison of hate. And until these people are released from this oppressive, poisonous ideology that has pitted them against all of these other people around the world, until they are released from this and allowed to be free of the powers of these rabbis, none of us are going to be free.
You know, some of the people who are most persecuted in Israel are Christian missionaries, including the people known as Jews for Jesus.
Yes, that's right. I mean, this is the thing. You know, when John the Baptist was confronted by the Pharisees, and he turned on them and he said, your days are over. The axe is already at the root of the tree. You see, what he was saying was that Jesus and his message of compassion and justice and mercy and all of these things, that it was going to destroy the hatred of these Pharisees. The problem is, Mike, that the Christian world did not finish the business of hacking this tree down, and instead, we just went about our lives and we allowed it to sprout up again, and now we are dealing with the ugly fruits of this tree and the fact that we have just thrown away this inheritance and this duty that was given to us when we accepted the role of following the message of Jesus.
I couldn't put it any better myself. I won't try. Sam, do you have any closing comments before we roll on out of here for the evening?
No, that's just it. I even see some people in the alternative media falling for this end of the world stuff. Every time you talk about trying to do something, they always throw prophecy out there. And I'm saying, you know, folks, use your critical brain skills.
All right. Good for you, Sam. I appreciate that. Mark Glenn, God bless you. God bless all of our listeners here. God bless America. Let's all really stick together because we have identified the enemy here tonight. You want the enemy identified, ladies and gentlemen? We identified the enemy. This is Michael Collins Pfeiffer. Tomorrow night, another provocative show. Very provocative show with Tom Chittum. Stay tuned now for good programming that lies ahead right here on RBNLive.com.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.